Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com. All right, let's get this show started.
Steve Butella here for Land Academy. Welcome to our Cash Flow from Land Show. In this episode, Joe and I talk about the best startup ideas and where they come from and why. Jill, I'm excited to share how I came up with this new, I'm excited to share how we come up with new product ideas and share it with the audience, I guess, and how it applies to buying and selling land. But before we do that, as always, let's take a call.
Okay. Errol from Texas called in and asked, is it okay to buy property with back taxes? I don't want to go through another foreclosure.
This topic comes up. I'm so glad we got this question. So this topic comes up not very often, but I did an acquisition a couple years ago face-to-face, which really never, it's unusual for me at this point now to do acquisitions myself, but I did, and it's extremely unusual for any of us to do a face-to-face acquisition, but there's a guy, long story short, he owned a bunch of property in northern Arizona. He worked at University of Phoenix, and so I met him on campus, which is just a few miles from here. Mm-hmm. He worked there on campus at their cafeteria, and we did the deal. And his reason for selling the property, because we always ask, you know, why are you selling this? Or what his reason is for selling is he did not want to go through another foreclosure. So and I chuckled to myself. I think I actually came back to the office and told you about it. But let's get all informed here. Unless you have something to say about this, I'll just knock it off.
No, go ahead.
You don't, when you own property free and clear like this, and the tax, the back, the property taxes themselves start to accumulate, there's no foreclosure process. Well, there is, but it's not like getting foreclosed on from a mortgage company or a credit card situation where people are calling you all the time. And it's just it's a horrific experience for anyone to go through that. When your taxes are delinquent, your property taxes on a property, there's no debt associated, whether it's a house or an apartment building or anything, the process is exactly the same. The county or the taxing entity, it's almost always the county, sends you a letter, and then a bunch of time goes by. And then they send you another letter and another letter. And maybe at best, they'll send you a registered letter. No one ever calls you. They don't care. And eventually, there's a foreclosure proceeding that you will not even know about. And they will take the property back. They'll take title to the property. In between that, there might be a tax lien stage, and it's way beyond the scope of this topic. But there's no foreclosure process to go to. The most painful thing is if you ignore your mail. That's as hard as it gets.
And then you just let it go.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen.
So, Errol.
There's no ding on your credit.
Yeah, there's no credit score.
They're not going to come after you and start garnishing your wages or anything
like
that.
Which could happen. That happens with
other stuff, with the mortgage.
Mortgage foreclosure and credit card stuff and all that.
No, they just take it back. That's
a good question. I'm glad we got a chance to say that.
Well, can I piggyback on this?
Absolutely.
I have no trouble buying property with back taxes, by the way.
That's probably what his real
question is. Do your homework ahead of time. So you know how much the back taxes are owed on the property, because you want to factor that into your purchase price, because that's something to think about. But that's the only thing I do. And I ask the sellers, and then I check it for myself. Hey, are your taxes current? Most of the time they say yes, but sometimes they'll say no. I'm staring at a bill, you know, and I'm like, all right. So I'll say, well, you owed $500 if it's even that. You know, depending on the property. So now I'm going to offer X because of that and factor that all in, and they get it. You know, what's funny is I probably get deals that way because there's probably properties that no one wants to touch because they're afraid of the back taxes. And I have no trouble with that.
You know, you just got to make sure the deals make sense. So if the property, a lot of times the back tax amount plus the fees and stuff that the county charges, it exceeds the value of the property.
That happens.
So in that case, it's not over yet. In that case, you just let it go all the way back. So if it goes all the way back, like the end of the line, and the county takes it back, and when they and this is almost, this is true in almost all cases, but make sure if you buy back tax property from a taxing entity like the county, make sure that everything's wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will wipe out all the taxes just to get it back on the tax roll. So remember about back tax property. The county's real motivated to get it back out there and get it to be an income producing property for them.
That's a great way to buy property. Yeah, when get them at that place. And they literally wipe everything out. And it's almost starting fresh, like it came from the original.
Right. Hey, whatever you do not do the following. Only buy back tax property. We have several competitors or our main competitors. That's what they teach. Just focus on back tax property. Don't do that. You're missing like 95% of the actual market.
Right.
What you want to look for is property with no mortgage debt. Vacant lands, houses, the whole thing. No debt. Those are the people that they have the power to negotiate any price you ask.
Mm-hmm.
So no, don't be afraid of taxes, back taxes. And you won't have to go through a typical debt foreclosure.
Yep, perfect.
At all.
All right. So tell me more about this. The best startup ideas come from where?
Well, I mean, I was watching one of these shows. This is how I came up with this topic.
Okay.
And the show was, actually it came from a movie that we saw recently called Joy.
Oh.
Where she invented a product. If you haven't seen the movie, I think it's great. If you haven't seen the... she came up with a product. She came up with a better mop, a better mousetrap. In her case, it was a mop. And she got on QVC, and she was a struggling person, got on QVC, and long story short, turned it into an empire. It's a real, based on her true story. She's the one who invented like felt hangers in your, skinny felt hangers in your closet so you can fit more clothes in there. Every woman's dream. And so...
That's true, actually.
So a lot of the conventional wisdom from that is solve a problem. Walk around the house or all throughout your day. My car used to freeze and we'd have to freaking throw water on the thing. And in Michigan, a lot of people go through that. So that's a problem. So you walk around your regular life and solve problems. And there might be a product idea. I think that's a bunch of malarkey. I think the best way.
I didn't think that's where you were going. I thought that was a great way to come up with ideas.
I know.
And solving a problem.
Very conventional wisdom.
Solving a problem.
Ask people what they want. And if you're lucky enough to have customers like us, ask them what they want. They will immediately tell you. They'll also tell you how to improve your existing products.
It's true.
Which will ultimately cause you to launch another product.
Mm-hmm.
The single best way to get new product ideas that will work, because now you're talking to people who are ready to buy it because it's solving a problem. You've got a built-in customer base. Is ask your existing customers, or if you don't yet have existing customers, find a group of people that all have something in common and ask them a bunch of questions about what would make their life easier.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a silly, unrelated example. There's a bunch of bakeries in town. In every town, there's a bunch of bakeries. There always will be. I don't care what happens with technology and the internet. They all need something. Drive around, ask 15 of them or whatever what they need. They'll all tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you've got personal relationships with 15 people who own bakeries. Start the product.
Mm-hmm.
This pie in the sky concept of let's make a better mop and sell it on the internet or sell it on eBay. While I think that can be successful, I think my way's better. I don't know what to call it. We need like a brand name for it. You're great at this show. What can we call that?
What's the concept?
There's a widget concept we could call it.
Oh.
Or what could we call the? Did you just fall asleep?
Yeah, you kind of lost me a little bit there.
Did I really?
Yeah, I did.
Was the bakery thing too far?
It was a little bit. It was a little bit confusing to me. So.
It's not that incredibly shocking.
Thank you. Thank goodness our listeners are.
No, seriously. Let me. What were you confused? Are you joking or?
No, I kind of. No, honestly, I was thinking about other products. Well, you started talking about. You know what? Here's what happens to me.
If it's not a soundbite, she stops listening.
That's not what I was going to say.
Like a soundbite like this. Read my lips.
No.
No new taxes.
Stop.
That's how you have to talk to Joe.
No, that's not true. No, actually.
We will launch Wednesday.
I was going off on a tangent thinking about our people. Okay, here's what's going on in my world. Sidetrack. I can't keep up with these orders that we're taking right now for our new data to doorship that we launched. I am so excited. I can't believe it. it's going so well. And it became from a need from our customers, like you just said. So I apologize. In the middle of this show, I started to think about the next thing. Well, I'm already, because we're talking about what is near and dear to my heart right now. And what we're working on all the time is solving these problems and coming up with new things to help people, basically what they want, give them what they want. So what I'm really, where I was zoning out really ties into what we're going. And I was thinking of another thing that they want. So,
right. So here's a real life, exactly what Jill's talking about. The next, for in real life, this is what we do day in and day out. We send out a mailer and a million people call us back, landowners, and they say, absolutely, yes, I want to, or they send them the offer back signed. And they say, yeah, I want to buy your, I want to sell this property to you for $500. Thank you for calling me. You're solving a problem. So what do? We solve their problem. We fill their need. We arrange to have a notary go to their house, regardless of where they live. Could be in Maine. We're in Arizona. We provide the document for the actual deed to be signed by the property owner. We do deliver it to a notary that's in the area. They go meet with the person. They sign it, hand them a cashier's check that we mailed to them. And we're on our way. The stuff gets back sent back to us, and we record the deed, and we own it. So they have a check, and we own the property. And so we're solving a huge problem. Then on the flip side, when we sell it, we provide that exact same service. We buy a property, somebody buys the property, let's say it's for cash, not for terms. We get the documents to them. We deliver a deed, and we inform them all the stuff that they need, that we know about the property. And so we're solving that person's problem. And that's our regular land estate company. For Land Academy, we are learning that our members have all the same set of issues that we have. They don't actually know how to do what I just described, it's just because they're new, or maybe they're lazy, or maybe they just want to be a deal maker and they want someone else to do the paperwork like me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always taking at that angle.
Mm-hmm.
So we're starting it's not anytime soon, but we are going to offer, you know, a very specific skill set of virtual assistant so that we can do the paperwork and arrange for these closings for our Land Academy members for a small price per deal.
Mm-hmm.
That is how you find a new product, because people are begging you for it.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it.
This is something I actually learned in college. It's not, so, if you believe it or not.
Okay.
That's maybe the only thing I learned in college.
I love it.
I can tell when you're just done.
I am. I've had a tired day.
Tell us a story. Tell us a story with something that happened with your family recently. A good, positive, fun story. You always have good family stories.
What?
You do.
Oh.
I mean, there's a couple bad eggs, but whatever. You always have good, fun, like, how's your aunt doing in California?
Well, I can talk about kid number two. This is kind of a cute story. Kid number two, who wants to start doing some, he's really into graphics, I found out. But he doesn't have a computer. He needs a computer. So I said, all right, we're going to get you a computer. What do you want? And bless his heart, he came back to me with the base model. I'm like, it's a Mac. And I'm like, because he's all into graphics and stuff, doing them at school. And I said, all right, but is that the right computer? No, that's good. That's good. So I start talking to Steven about it. And so Steven says, no. We need to get him this, 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 and this. I said, so I wrote back to him. I'm like, all right.
We are over-equipped in our world. Or over-equipped with the equipment.
With the stuff. Yeah, Steven's famous for, which I appreciate. Let's not dink around. You know what? You tape together a lot of things, but you don't tape this together.
Got to have the right.
If we're going to have equipment computers and we're going to do that right and buy what we're going to need in 6 months, not what we need today.
Right.
Which I appreciate. So kid is so funny. So he's like, oh, well, in that case. And I pointed out some graphics difference and stuff on the Mac Pro versus the Air. And he's like, oh, okay. So kid is like, you know, so darn excited.
Plus we're going to throw in some work, right?
Yes.
So, you know what? This is a perfect lead in for this.
Yeah.
Now he's got a built-in customer.
Yeah.
He's got the tools to do it.
Right.
See, and he's a huge problem for us.
Exactly. So what's so funny is it was taking a couple days to get there, solved his own problem. He contacted the shipper and found out he can get it a day early if he went to FedEx and picked it up.
That's how excited he is.
He's so excited. Yes, he got it yesterday.
Did you
get the texting me? Oh, totally.
Is it all that?
Oh yeah, he's all excited.
So there's no disappointment.
None at all. Are you kidding? No, it's so great. What's so funny is he got out of school and he had a soccer game, so he's like running to FedEx to get this computer to get back to the soccer game.
That's awesome.
And practice and everything. But he's just so happy and so excited. So, yeah. And that's, yeah. And part of this is all coming from, A, he needed a computer for school, but we need graphics help too. Now that I know that he is all dialed in and he's good. He's already done some little things for me at school. Now he's really hooked up. So we are his customer. So it's going
to
be great.
Our kids are getting to the age where they're employable. And so as a parent, you always have to wonder, should I work with my kid or not? And so far, we've had a great experience. Mm-hmm. We're lucky.
Maybe kid number three.
We're ogres.
You know what's funny? Kid number three, we're not exactly sure where his talents lie yet. So we haven't figured.
Right.
He's not old enough, but it's interesting. He's at least now starting to say, yeah, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
at least
he knows what he doesn't want. Which is a lot more than most people can say.
That's true. That's really good.
No, I don't like chocolate. Some people have issues with that.
My mom doesn't like chocolate.
No, I mean, just they don't know what they want. I keep talking about this book I'm writing called Showing Up.
Mm-hmm.
But that's in the first part of the book, it's not done yet, but it's about, you know, knowing what you want is like 50% of the issue.
Mm-hmm. And you are really good about that. And I think you're right. A lot of people don't know mm-hmm. what they want. They're trudging through life thinking they know. They think they're going to figure it out. They think it's going to happen at some point and they're going to go, oh, I've arrived. This was it. But you got to, it really helps if you know going into it what you're aiming for.
I'm going to tell a former employee story. So one time I was working, this is a lot of years ago, way before Jill. And I'm working with this woman and we're working on this project. And I'm asking her, so what do you think our customers want? Do they want this, 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 and this? This is land buying customers long before Land Academy. And we could provide this and this website should look like this. And she said, you know, I just don't think that many people think that far ahead. And I'll always remember that because I think as far ahead as I possibly can imagine. Don't you?
I do.
Like retirement years. And I mean, I don't sit there and I'm not stern about it, like, and put it in a box and it's got to happen this way. But it comes in, I think, really far ahead, and that's how I make decisions today.
I do, but I don't do it like you. I don't think that as far ahead as you do. That's why I have you.
Are you like next week or next month?
No, I'm got this whole year kind of figured out. Seriously.
That's good, though.
No, I've got big, I have book goals. I have travel goals. I mean, there's things that are coming. There's things that are already on the schedule, but I don't think necessarily 5 years down the road as you do. It's kind of vague for me. It's vague for me, but you've got it on paper.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of listeners are familiar with this concept, but one of the things, general business things that everybody knows, then probably does nothing about, but they know about it academically, is you always have to have an exit strategy. Mm-hmm. So you never start a company unless you know how it's going to end, which I always thought was really good advice for a marriage, but it doesn't work that way.
I just was about to say something, and then what the heck? Oh, Stephen!
How do I exit this marriage?
Wow!
As you're walking down the aisle,
go. There's a podcast.
Thinking, what's the exit strategy on this?
How to go through life and marriage with an exit strategy?
Oh my God! That's the title of a show. I'm writing it down right now. Jill, fill the space I'm writing.
Wow. That's okay. What I was about to say was I have talked to and in past careers and situations kind of mentored people with that strategy as far as business, though, or their career. Like, I would always say, you know, think about your career. Where do you want to be in 5-10 years? And let's work it backwards. Okay, you want to be a doctor? All right, fine. We got to work it backwards.
Right.
You want to be an X? Let's work it backwards.
Yeah, that's deconstruction. And it's a different way to say deconstruct what you want, break it down into parts, and then build it back up.
Right, but people don't think about it.
No, I know.
Sometimes people, they have to pause and go, well, you know what? And they think they're going down. When you do it that way, it makes sense. If I want to be a, you know, whatever it is, I want to be a published author. Do I really want to be spinning my wheels over here?
Right.
Should I be spinning my wheels over here? No, I should be really going down that path, you know, and working it backwards. You know, when you look at it that way, it makes sense. Sometimes when you're going forward, it doesn't make sense. You think that, oh, this could benefit me. You think you're taking on a job, or you think you're taking on a task or a project because it might benefit you in the end. Don't waste your time.
Yeah.
Go for the things that you know will benefit you in the end.
Right. So. You know, I just read I keep plugging this magazine, Fast Company. We have no affiliation at all, but I don't know. For whatever reason, the way that it's written, I just like it because their articles are shorter and it's fast. Mm-hmm. And the whole article was about, you know, the number one reason that companies fail. And it's this. The people who own the companies or start them up are working on the wrong stuff.
Right.
And we're saying all the same thing. Mm-hmm. You got to start 5 years ahead, mm-hmm. look back, deconstruct every little step of the way, mm-hmm. put together a plan about how you're going to, you know, what are you going to work on today to get to that 5-year goal?
Right.
Instead of, you know, does my website look perfect? You know, I have issues with that specific topic.
For you, I thought
if
it was
you
like
look at
the
our
desk.
Websites, they're by no stretch perfect.
True.
And
it's going to change.
Yeah, they will be perfect at some point.
Yeah.
But that's not how you launch. You don't launch perfect.
That's true. It hasn't held us back from doing deals and making money and all that good stuff at all.
Right.
You know, and what if you don't even have a phone and you only have your cell? You don't have a business line. Who cares?
If everything's perfect, if you wait for everything to be perfect, you'll never get anything done.
Right. Don't wait to get your office on the lake and all that good stuff.
Like you?
Yes. I worked for it. I did not start with it.
You were in every square inch of that office, Jill.
Thank you very much.
I'm happy to sit in this hole of a studio while you enjoy the view of the lake.
You like the studio. You picked the studio.
Join us in another episode where Jill and I disappoint you about your all-important success in real estate investment and in life. It always comes back to marriage.
What was that? I'm trying to think. Exact line? Oh, exit strategy. Yeah, it didn't work for me in marriage. Or something about how you apply that to marriage. That's good.
That is a Steve original. Sometimes I recycle jokes and stuff, but I actually came up with that. I came up with that in college when we were talking about exit strategy.
What else could exit strategy? You can't do that with kids.
Yeah, you can.
Parenting.
It's different for women, I think, and rightfully so. For the record, I love the differences between men and women. I think people get real upset about that, making everybody try to be one gender, which is silly. God, I'm going to get a bunch of phone calls on that.
No, I agree with you on this topic.
But I think that,
being a girl.
I like being a guy.
I like that you're a guy.
Where the hell is this going? I like everything about you.
Exit strategy.
Except a couple things.
Oh.
I'm just completely joking, dude. I'm rattling your thing.
Okay.
Jill has a very specific requirement about where she eats and what she eats. And you don't know what you don't know what it's going to be. It could change at any given minute.
I do
it
not.
It could
I'm
change
only
while
like,
she's eating what
you know
she's
what?
Eating.
It's not true. I'm only like kid number three where I just know where I don't want to go.
What were we talking about? Exit strategies. Yeah. I can't remember. The kid exiting. So most men I know that the magic 18th birthday is there's a big exit in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think women, it's a little different. Like they get a little missy about it. But
yeah.
No, I think there's a huge legal responsibility exit for raising children on their 18th birthday. And when they're out of college, that's even further exit. And maybe when they have
their own family and all that.
Yeah, picked a full long-term relationship.
Right.
Or made some of those big permanent choices, you know. I mean, you always, as parents, you are concerned about your kids doing well financially or not, you know, making enough money to survive and just be happy.
Right.
There's exits and all that.
I agree.
There's a huge exit in buying property. Let's go buy some.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
Landacademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.